In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Juneau is closing the Mill Campground for the season. The campground has 20 tent sites and is maintained seasonally by the city for people without homes. It will close on October 15th, and the city wants everyone to have their belongings and food out by noon. There are alternatives for people who don't have homes to go to. The city has an emergency warming shelter at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center that will be open overnight through the fall and winter. There's also the Glory Hall shelter, though it is taking fewer people because of the pandemic. The Mill Campground should reopen next April. Several Americans have been cited by law enforcement in British Columbia for breaking rules intended to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That comes after the Canadian Border Service Agency implemented tougher restrictions in July for travelers driving to and from Alaska through Canada. Staff Sergeant Janelle Scheuert with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police says law enforcement were contacted when a group of travelers failed to social distance and wear masks while making a stop in Fort St. John's in late August.
Three individuals who were traveling from America into up to Alaska and were found to have been in a local area restaurant, not wearing a mask and dining in and having contact with people inside the restaurant and then sustained contact with people after the restaurant. So they were fined $1,000 each.
Scheuert says that in another instance, a family of five driving from Alaska to Washington was cited for failing to make the trip in the amount of time they were allotted by the CBSA. Border agents notified law enforcement and the group was escorted to the border and fined. Scheuert says that incidents such as these have been rare.
You know, we encourage everybody to listen to the regulations and abide by those regulations. I mean, certainly we're not out to give fines to everybody, but you know, if you are found to be not compliant with that, we will certainly issue the fines, and that is to protect all Canadians and our communities.
The Canadian border has been closed to non-essential travel since March. Alaskans are allowed to travel through the country for essential reasons and under certain conditions. CBSA requires travelers to wear masks while in transit and remain in their vehicle as much as possible. New regulations implemented in July require motorists to enter Canada through one of five border crossings when making their way to Alaska. Travelers who cross the border are given a specific date by which they must depart Canada and are required to take the most direct route from their point of entry to their point of exit. The pandemic has disrupted all of our lives in some way or another, but it's had a particularly dramatic impact on the lives of college students. In Sitka, many students who normally would have headed out of state for in-person classes have opted to stay home. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry spoke with three young Sitkans about what they're doing instead.
Ella Lubin loves school. Unlike a lot of her friends, she never wanted to take a gap year between high school and college.
Like, I was so excited when I graduated high school to go to college.
If it weren't for the pandemic, she'd be studying her way through her sophomore year at Yale right now. Instead, she's back in her hometown of Sitka, living with her parents.
Touching down on the runway in March, because March was when I came back, was definitely bittersweet because it was a beautiful sunny day. There was snow on the mountains, water was glistening, and I was so happy to be in this wild place again. But at the same time, I kind of understood it was very unlikely that I would be leaving, and that felt a little suffocating.
Lubin had the option to take online classes this fall, but instead, she decided to do something she never thought she would, take time off. And she's not alone. Nationwide, enrollment numbers for undergraduate students are down 2.5%, according to data from Clearinghouse. Lubin says she doesn't regret it. She's doing things she never would have done otherwise.
I just got off of a fishing tender, which I was on for a month, and that was super cool. That was my first time interacting with the commercial fishing industry firsthand, and I loved it, and I loved being on the water and seeing these incredible places in Southeast Alaska.
And now she's working as a campaign outreach director for Representative Jonathan Crace Tompkins, who's running for a fifth term representing Sitka in the Alaska legislature. The work may even influence her major, she says, which is still undecided. And Lubin's not the only one trying to get the most of the unexpected time off. Marlis Board was supposed to start her junior year at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, this fall, but she didn't feel comfortable returning for in-person classes. So She stayed in Sitka and is taking online classes from UAS instead that weren't offered at her school. She's also working as a COVID screener at the Sitka Rocky Gutierrez Airport.
I'm a public health major, and so this COVID screening testing deal kind of falls under what I want to do when I'm older.
Board says she does better with in-person classes, and she misses her college friends. She hopes to go back to Fort Lewis in the spring. But until then, she's enjoying the unexpected time with her family.
You know, this is something nobody has ever experienced before. And so being back home has also helped with that, because family also gives me a lot of comfort during this time.
Spending time with family has been a bright spot for college sophomore Lucy Polson, too. She spends most mornings taking classes at Harvard, thousands of miles from campus, and her afternoons taking walks with her mom and their dog. But it's also been hard to let go of freedom that she just started to get used to.
It just felt like it was just completely ripped away, like as soon as I came home. And it almost felt like returning to high school a little bit, you know, where suddenly, like, you're living in your, like, in the bedroom, you know, that you grew up in. You're sitting down to dinner, like, with your family every single night.
Polson didn't have the option to return for in-person classes, and she worried that if she took time off, she'd lose momentum and never go back. So she's trying to look on the bright side and recognize the lessons this experience has taught her.
I think it's one that I will have learned a lot from, both about myself and just kind of like how everything just functions, you know, when suddenly everything that we thought we had is just like turned on its head.
None of them know what college will look like in the spring or even next fall. For now, they're learning to live with that uncertainty, just like the rest of us. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
This year, the FCC opened a window of opportunity for Native Americans to secure rights to their own wireless broadband networks. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, talks are underway of creating an intertribal network to improve internet connectivity in Southeast Alaska villages.
Southeast Alaska tribes have few communities connected by road, and while the internet has helped bridge gaps from physical distances, it's often far from fast or reliable. That was on display this month when Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska held its 85th Tribal Assembly entirely online. Tribal Vice President Will Micklin says the COVID-19 pandemic made that necessary, but the digital divide was apparent.
It was a difficult connection for most of the villages outside of Sitka, Ketchikan, and Juneau.
Tlingit and Haida is among hundreds of tribal entities nationwide to apply for a special wireless spectrum license to fill gaps in communities underserved by commercial carriers.
We don't have a profit motive. Our motive is a delivery of service. I really view broadband as an inherent right for our tribal citizens, and that is made ever clear to me by the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, where deficiencies in infrastructures became ever more apparent.
This year, the FCC made that possible by offering a spectrum for wireless broadband, such as 5G data service, to Native communities. Any unclaimed bandwidth will be auctioned off later to private carriers. Other tribes in Southeast are taking the same initiative. Huna Indian Association has a pending application with the FCC. Tribal Administrator Bob Starbard says it covers the tribal's traditional territory and even some neighbors.
Our plan is to use it to create a broadband network for all of the community residents of Huna and any of the other population center that's happened to fall within our territory.
That overlaps with Tlingit and Haida's application, but both tribes say they'd cooperate, not compete. The regional tribe has pledged not to overlap its services with local tribes. If a tie-in with a commercial carrier doesn't make sense for Huna, Starbard says there's talk of joining forces, as they'll all be on the same 2.5 gigahertz spectrum.
There's a joint effort within tribes that's being discussed with Tlingit and Haida Central Council and other tribes of some form of intertribal network.
But first, the FCC will need to issue the licenses. And when it does, hundreds of tribes across the U.S. are expected to have a unique opportunity to fill gaps in connectivity in underserved areas, which describes most of rural Alaska. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan says he plans to vote for President Donald Trump. Sullivan faces a re-election bid in which his major competitor, independent Al Gross, has tried to portray him as a yes man to Trump. I'm Pablo Peña, and this is KTOO News.